Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world. Now, here's Ben Coleman, President of Aerospace Management System Institute, Board Member of Professional Aerospace Maintenance Association, and National Aviation Safety Foundation. He's the anchor host for Plane Time Stressing Aviation Maintenance. He has over 3,000 hours of flight time around the world and is today's host.
Hello, everyone. I'm Ben Coleman, your anchor host here at the Florida Aviation Network, coming to you live and in the clear from the beautiful Lakeland International Airport. Sun and Fun number 49. 2023 is the year, and we are just a cornucopia of aviation. I always like to use that word because it's so long. And I just figured out what it meant, so it's good to use it. But we were going to have Piedmont Airlines on today, but we decided just to kind of blow them off. We really did. This is April 1st. You do know that. So anyway, that's my only April 1st thing that I'm able to do today. So this being our last segment of the day, we are honored to have Piedmont Airlines here. Their spokesman is a gentleman that I have known for, we go back, what, Tyler, 20 minutes?
Yeah, about that, 15.
Yeah, we go way back.
Mm-hmm.
Air handshake.
Got
all
it.
Right, okay. Tyler is Ten Brink. And that is a Dutch descendant. And Tyler is, I've never heard of this, but this it's a new day. Just because I hadn't heard of it doesn't mean it's not special. But he's the director of talent acquisition.
You've got it.
For Piedmont. And yep. He's been with them for a while, so he's not a newcomer. But Piedmont has realized, Tyler, that I guess we're in kind of a bind for pilots and mechanics.
We are.
And will you share with us, and by the way, thank you for committing to be a sponsor for what we do here at Florida Aviation Network, all volunteers here. Jacob, Mark, who's there on his cell phone, should be mounted to the camera, and Dr. Bartuskas. We got airline pilots in the back there, Captain John Carter and Captain Steve Graff. Literally, they're line captains with airlines.
I've got jobs for them.
No, it depends on. Let's talk pay scale, okay?
All right.
Let me be their agent.
Okay? Deal.
But tell us, Tyler, what is Piedmont? What is their approach to try and help them keep their professional staff staffed with the right people?
So one of our biggest things at Piedmont is we really want to fill the pipeline, but we want to be able to fill the pipeline with professionals. And what we've done is created programs to allow us to not only bring people into aviation, but make sure that they're progressing into aviation safely, and we want to be able to control that. So what we are able to do is we're able to interview long before anybody's going to even step foot in that in the cockpit, mm-hmm. and we get to see them grow throughout their training. One of the commitments that we have for just our students in general is we know it's expensive, and it's not always about money. It's also about the time and the effort that you put into the students. And those that are coming into aviation. Like we talked about a little earlier, is there's not just pilots and flight attendants and mechanics. There's a whole realm that's out there. And a lot of people don't know that airlines are not just made up of just those three different positions. They're made up of all of us.
You got dispatch. You got finance. You got
HR.
Yeah.
Oh. You got talent acquisition.
Talent acquisition. That's a new phrase on me. I really like that.
It's enjoyable. I like it, too.
And the entry levels and the maintenance side of the house is very, mm-hmm. very important to me.
It is.
Because, you know, if we don't have folks down on the ground fixing them when they break or doing the inspections and the time-limited maintenance, we don't have an airline.
Nope.
So where do you go to get your mechanics for Piedmont?
We are actually creating our own.
You make them.
We do. There's a lot of great maintenance schools out there. We see PIA, we've got Liberty, we've got Embry-Riddle, I can name them all, right? Mm-hmm. But we partnered with approximately six of them. And what we do is we kind of do it like we do the cadet program. They apply through our website. Any student, doesn't matter their background, We welcome anybody that wants to do this to come over to us, apply for it, and we actually pay for their entire A&P license. So they can start and they can go to school and they will have a job with Piedmont by the end of it.
What is their commitment for that, for that cash infusion that you do?
It's 2 years.
Okay.
Not a bad gig.
That's not,
I mean, you're going to get through your training, you're going to be able to work on aircraft, and then we want you to succeed in your career. We want you to go over to American. We want you to be with our parent company. But we want you to love Piedmont, and that's where everybody remembers their first airline that they work for. Mm-hmm. And we want to be that first airline.
What's your retention rate? Because how long has this program been going on?
So the program has been going on for about 2 years. Kind of took a hiatus over COVID, but we started it up in 2019.
So it's hard to really look at, because you're not even through your final initial 2 year
Correct.
Contract.
So
so you really don't know what your washout rate is, but and hopefully, I mean, it's a strive to be zero.
It is.
Hopefully, you make the right selection in the beginning, and you're able to keep them for their career.
Agreed.
Because I mean, it's a shame to do all this training and make a professional and then have them jump ship and go to, you know, Allegiant. I'm sorry, Captain Carter. What else? Let's see. I love this direct entry captain or near entry captain positions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the past, I mean, to get your ATP, you had to have 2,500 hours. 1,500 hours. And then it went down. They're not going to come much down below 1,500 now.
No.
To go to work for the airlines, you had to have 1,500 hours. You had to be able to get your ATP.
Mm-hmm.
And they dropped that down to 500 hours. There was even talk about taking them lower than that. How low can we go before we start to have brain drain of a very, very serious level? Because you got a highly experienced person in the left seat, a very minimally experienced in the right seat. That's really not the spot to train when you got people paying for tickets behind you. How do you deal with that? And what is your minimum entry level?
So minimum entry level for a first officer is sitting at ATP Men's. So depending on where you went to school, where you built your flight time, if you came from the military, but we call it the 1,500-hour rule. So you have to have at least 1,500 hours total time and then the caveats that go with that to become an ATP and a pilot for an airline. So that's how that's the rule at this point.
Okay. And, of course, they got to have their multi-engine, be able to get first class or second class, I guess.
First class medical.
Okay. I'm anxious to see how this program works. And it's not new.
Mm-mm.
It's, and we talked earlier about Lufthansa. They were very active at United.
Yep.
And you're making your own pilot mechanics.
We are.
And, what litmus paper do you guys use? And I'm asking you to show us your secret sauce of what kind of checklist you use as far as, and you really can't discriminate on age, height, weight, gender, all of that's out the door.
Yep.
However, I mean, there's got to be some limitation. Military, they wouldn't take a certain stature person into a flight position. They just didn't fit in the cockpit.
Yep.
How do you get around that, being the talent acquisition director?
We're very carefully. So, you know, with the different programs we have different requirements. Obviously, you're going to come in and you're going to do an interview with a recruiter, whether you're a mechanic or you're, you know, a pilot. And you're going to come and interview with us. Now, they each have their own different sets of interview techniques. They have their own different sets of requirements that they have to go through. However, the biggest thing we're going to look at is, what have you been doing? Have you been out there in the community? Have you been, what's your education like? Who have you helped? What's your passion? We want to know these things.
Have you ever had a job?
Yeah, or that. Have you ever had a job? Now, there's a lot of people that are coming out of high school and, you know, getting ready to figure out what they want to do the rest of their lives. And, you know, we don't know what we're doing the rest of our lives, but these guys do. And they come to us and they have a want. They want to be a part of the aviation community. You just don't know how to do it. Mm-hmm. And we kind of teach them how to do it. We teach them how to get there. And we put them not only with us. We have to make sure they fit our culture, but we also have to make sure they're going to be successful. they're going to run, they're going to be able to do the math. They're going to be able to, you know, have that conversation. How are their skills, their interpersonal skills? I mean, you're going to be stuck in a cockpit or, you know, up in the engine cowling trying to fix something with a team member. We want to make sure you can do that. And those are kind of the just the little things we catch on to as recruiters, as we're able to see those things, and we're going to see if you fit with our culture. Do you mesh with our people well? And it's interesting to watch because the culture changes. Piedmont has changed from the time that I started with them in 2015 till now. We're a completely different company, but the people are have never once been not amazing. They are great people to work with.
It seems to have been that way, and as I mentioned before we got here, Piedmont, we knew the chief pilot for Piedmont back when they took their first 737. It was the first jet service as they were coming out of their F-27s in Winston-Salem. And it's it has always had a good feel about it at Piedmont.
Yep.
And what do you guys do? And you mentioned the C word, culture.
Yep.
And we here at the FAA, well, FAA, not FAA anymore, but... safety culture, and it's really, really important for the company to maintain that safety culture image. And how do you, I know it's already been kind of installed, it's kind of heritage, but what do you do to perpetuate that? When you start seeing something that goes and starts approaching the boundaries, what do you, how much effort do you do to pull them back in, or do you cut them out?
So safety culture is extremely important. And we talked a little bit about this earlier. Is I've come from a safety background. I was actually in the safety department before I was in talent acquisition. So being able to see what the culture was like and understanding that even our leadership is committed to SMS and the safety culture of the airline. Because everybody says safety is our number one priority, right? And it is the most important piece of our organization. We wouldn't have an airline if we weren't safe. but we ensure that, you know, we have this big SMS program. We have, you know, ASAP and all of these other pieces that go along with it to open the lines of communication because we have to be able to learn from our mistakes. And if we don't, then we're doomed to repeat them, right? So the culture of it itself, we instill that right off the bat. Being able to, you know, tell our employees or our team members that, you know, your job in SMS is to observe and report. We want to make sure that we have those open lines of communication. We're not stopping that communication because when we do, we clam up. Everybody feels like they're doing something wrong, and then we're not talking to each other, and that's when we have a problem. So making sure we instill that into the people that are coming to us and understanding that, hey, we are a safety-oriented airline, and that is the number one piece. We have to make sure that even the people that don't work for us understand that. So our cadets, they're not employees, but they're part of the family. So starting out from the very beginning with safety culture and understanding how important it is for our employees and our livelihood at that, for the entire industry, we start that early.
The true test with some of your new people that come in, and you have an apprentice or a new mechanic, been in the job for a couple weeks now. And they're carrying a box out to the airplane to install, a box, avionics box, $50,000 box. Oops, they drop it. Oh, no, did you hear what happened to Tyler? Yeah, he dropped that box going into the avionics bay, and it's trash, man. What, did they fire him? No, they promoted him because he reported it because nobody saw it happen. And they had to go back and check the cameras out to make sure that it did happen. But he reported it on his own because he could have, nobody saw me do it. So and the box isn't damaged on the outside anyway. It was trashed inside. And they could just plug it in and, I don't know, just failed when we spooled it up. It didn't pass the smoke test.
Yep.
But that's so, so important to not perpetuate making mistakes. But when they make a mistake, to report it, track it. Why did this happen? You had soap on your hands. Okay. Number one, never go to the bathroom and wash your hands before you're going to go take a box out to plug it into the airplane. You know, that won't happen again.
Well, that's all SMS, right?
Sure.
We want to figure out why it happened. What lined up to make that trip occur, right? Was there something on the floor? Did you have soap on your hands? You know, it goes back and forth.
Yeah, and Tyler, but I cannot tell you the times that in the old days, the old timers. Yeah, we fired Tyler. He's yep. out of here. Yeah, he will never drop into the box on us again. Those days are gone.
Correct.
Now, if that's the third time Tyler's dropped the box, now we might have a retention problem. But the quality of life improvements, and it's important that to me to hear that the airlines are concerned about their people's quality of life. That means you pay them well, you give them food for thought, you give them inspiration to carry on and do better. Some people, they're perfectly content doing what they're doing from now for the next 30 or 40 years or however it changes. Or there's others that want to do more and more and more and more. How does your HR folk, how do you track that? Is that part of your talent acquisition? How far do you take it with your role as being a director before you hand it over, throw it over the fence? Okay, I got you this fresh meat here. We've got a new employee. He or she is this beautiful gob of goo that we're going to turn into a professional.
Yep.
And at some point, they're into the system. How well does Piedmont track that person through their career path with the airline?
I mean, we can see it all. I mean, technology is great, right? We can start someone from day one, and we can see their career progress throughout, and we can see everything in between. Mm-hmm. You know, with that being said, we rely on our managers, we rely on our leadership to really make sure they're teaching what these people need to know and to continue on the culture that we have fostered throughout. We have three things that we do. We are caring, we're compliant, and we communicate. Those are the three things that we live by at Piedmont. And those are, you know, those values are instilled in everybody that walks through the door. Mm-hmm. We want to care for our people. We want to make sure we're compliant because that's safe, right? Mm-hmm. And we want to communicate because when you're not communicating, things go wrong. We know that in the cockpit. We know that in the hangar. Mm-hmm. We know that throughout life. If you're not talking, mm-hmm. we may have a problem. So being able to make sure that they're being monitored, they are paired with mentors, they are paired with the people that have been around for a while that know the ropes, that we know that are going to teach them the proper way of doing things. Because if we're not doing it by the book, then we're off kilter. And that's when things go wrong.
Hmm. Tyler, I'll put you on the spot here. Give me some numbers. What are we talking about? Numbers of employees, number of aircraft, routes, your route structure. I guess you took over from Henson.
We did.
Okay. And rebranded, yep. And it is so good to keep seeing the Piedmont brand. and I'm over this back when I was a kid. It was Piedmont was that's the only airline to fly. But give me some numbers. What are you talking about?
So, well, we love Sun and Fun because our logo is everywhere. I mean, the 727 just stands out, right? Mm-hmm. So we're a company about 10,000.
The
10,000 employees. Wow. We're much larger than what we look like. Piedmont has got about 55 ERJ 145s and about 800-ish pilots. Mm-hmm. And then just going through the gamut, I mean, the flight operations side is actually the smallest piece. Mm. So the pilots and mechanics on that side. Our bases are for our crews are we have a Harrisburg base, which is very small and it's very senior. And then we have Philadelphia, which is our junior base, and then Charlotte, which is our mid base. Mm-hmm. So, you know, those are the pieces that are there on the routes that we fly. We're owned by American Airlines, so we're wholly owned. And they set our routes, but we are primarily East Coast operated. Mm-hmm. And we also have 7 maintenance bases located throughout the East Coast of the United States. So flying primarily from the Philly and Charlotte hubs.
Are your people happy, and how do you know it?
You know, I look at retention, and from a talent acquisition side, we always have to look and see, okay, where are people going, what are they doing, and why? You know, regional airlines are historically known as the stepping stone for mm-hmm. people, and that's okay. We want to get you started out in aviation. Mm-hmm. So looking at the attrition numbers and where those people go, if they're going to American, if they're going to a major carrier, you know, we don't want to restrict people from, you know, growing their career. Mm-hmm. We know that we're a stepping stone, but we want you to be happy while you're there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've been here for 9 years, and I have worked for numerous airlines, and I have never loved an airline more than Piedmont.
I kind of think you're going to stick with them for a while.
I hope so.
Unless they have other plans for you.
If they keep me, right? Yeah.
Oh, HR hadn't called you yet?
Hey, I think I am HR.
Oh. Tyler, the important aspect is for us to realize that it is a changing It's a fluid situation that we have on our hands, and the safety aspect of it, all it takes to have one occurrence, and it can wipe out so many, affect so many lives in a negative way. And it's refreshing to see and hear Piedmont taking the role, and every airline has got to have a similar form. I got to be honest with you, talent acquisition, is that an industry standard term?
It is, actually, and it's actually a national term.
Where have I been? I have been under a rock somewhere for a long time.
There's a difference between recruiting and talent acquisition. There's recruiting, and then there's the science behind recruiting. That's how you acquire people, and how do you do it?
How far back do you go? You mentioned young, and we're about to have to wrap this up, but this has got so many question marks on my mind of how far back do you go? I mean, you can probably pick somebody out in grade school. For a matter of fact, I took a neighbor, a little four-year-old girl. She wanted to go flying so bad, but I would have to put so many pillows up to strap her in, and mom and dad were nervous, a little two-passenger aircraft. But I did take her taxiing. I put her in the back seat, and we taxied around, and she thought, cool. So I set the hook. But how far back do you go as far as talent acquisition?
So I have a story about that. Okay. I've got a young man who we had a conversation at one of the events that he was at where he was local. And I gave him the opportunity to pick an event throughout the United States that he wanted to go to. It was a pilot recruiting event. And of course, you know, I put this list in front of him, and the event is in Honolulu. And he picks out of, you know, the 50 on the list, Honolulu, right? And he's probably 7 years old at this time. Yeah, he picks Honolulu. His dad comes with him, and then they make it into a family vacation. Fast forward 9 years. He is now almost graduated college. He is sitting at roughly 1,000 hours. He's going to hit his ATP minimums before he's even allowed to get his ATP because he's so young.
That happened.
And he's committed to Piedmont. So from 7 until the age of 23, he has been part of our organization. And we talk constantly.
Tyler, that is the perfect note to end this conversation on. And I do want to thank you on behalf of all of our volunteers and for all the thousands and millions of people. Even the International Space Station is going to be watching this interview.
I like it.
So I want to thank you. And again, I'll give you an air shake. But thanks again. And thank you so much for your contributions to our work here at Florida Aviation Network.
Well, thank you. And thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure. And we'll see you next interview by Ben Coleman, your anchor host here for the Florida Aviation Network, coming to you live and in the clear, sun and fun, 2023, number 49. See you next interview.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. Please visit our studio website to hear past programs.